1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've now covered two of four fundamental body attributes of conduct and behavior that we should arrive at when we contemplate our physical bodies and the kind of living union that exists between its members, so that we have some basic, and these are extremely basic and extremely fundamental and simple issues to go on, though, when it comes to sitting down with yourself and saying, all right, now in view of this, how would I go about, what would that mean conduct-wise, what would that mean behavior-wise within my local assembly, within Triangle Bible Church? And that's where you're going to have to do some more figuring out, but you'll have these fundamental attributes that need to be in existence so that we really have the power of us being one body in Christ and every one members one of another. So there's some great questions and great comments that were dealt with in our last session, but now let's move on and take a look at it here at the third fundamental body attribute of conduct and behavior. And as I said, my understanding is that this occurs in the next component here in 1 Corinthians 12 that Paul moves to next, which begins in verse 23. And by the way, this is a passage that I don't know if this is something that would help you or hurt you as far as the way you read your Bible and that kind of thing, but not every time, but every once in a while, sometimes when I'm working on a passage, one of the things that I'll do is I'll see if I can't, when it comes to seeing the components that make it up, sometimes I'll start at the end. It's almost easier in some cases to see where the conclusion is, and by the words of logic, then kind of work my way back. And this is one of those sections that at least that was helpful for me, because there's kind of a conclusionary matter. It's not like a major therefore conclusion, but there's like a target that every piece was going to, and it's more, I can, without looking at grammar or grammatical marks or even words of logic certainly help in this one, but what helped me the most was being able to see, okay, there's a concluding matter. And there's another one, and there's another one, and working, well, there's the fourth, that must be the fourth one, because working backwards, that's the first one. The fourth one, then the third one, then the second one, then the first one. Sometimes it helps, but this is one of those places where you're going to read it maybe right off the cuff and think, well, I think this ought to all run together, and maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong, but my understanding is that as you think about what each one of the components drives at, you can almost see that resolve or that driving at matter emerge as you go through these, and one of them comes up here. So we ended last time with verse 22 when Paul brought up the issue of the cooperation that lies behind the eye not saying to the hand, I have no need of thee, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. Now I see that's what it's driving at. For our comely parts have no need. And then you come along and he'll say, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Why? The purpose clause goes with it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members, here's the big thing it's driving at, should have the same care for one another. Well, what I would do between now and Sunday is think about what is that describing fundamentally as an attribute when you have that kind of care for one another. You have something about that person in mind. You have that person's this in mind. And that's what's driving behind that last component. But my understanding is that there is a component that runs only down to the colon of verse 24, the first colon, and then the remainder, beginning with the word but, Paul moves on to this final component. I know they're very closely related because you can see that in the grammatical marks. You don't have hard periods there and things like that. But like I said, what kind of becomes the governor for me when I went through this is to see that there are four definite resolves or four definite targets that each little section is going after, and you just bracket it off from target to target, you pretty much have the four. So that's where I see it. That's my understanding. If not, it's not going to do a lot of harm to go on if you want to grab a little more down into verse 24. But for me, I'm going to stop it there. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. Well, sounds a little dicey here, talking about comely parts and uncomely parts. We're getting down to talking about parts and different parts of parts. So don't worry, we're not going to get into any embarrassing situation here. But just as we've done already with the other two fundamental body attributes, you're not approaching this one cold. You've got two of them in your mind. And since edification is what's at hand here, it's what's at stake, there's a natural, progressive, orderly development that is taking place. You don't just learn one thing, set it aside, go on to something else, set it aside. No, you bring it all with you. And so you've got the issue of thinking as a body and members one of another, that each one has its usefulness. And by the way, where did that come from? Yeah, where'd the first one come out of? Where'd it come from? That's the first one of living. So what's right before godly living? Godly thinking. What came out of the godly thinking? Selfless love. And that selfless love naturally is going to leach into the conduct and behavior, first of all, that we see each other as useful. That same godly love is now going to take that concept, and coming out of that is that we've got to cooperate with one another. And so with the body attributes that we have on in our mind right now of usefulness and cooperation, in order to get things going here on the right foot, so to speak, I think the best way to handle verses 23 and that first part of verse 24 is to do what we've always been doing. And that is, let's focus upon just who's doing the talking here. Now, there's not talking going on, but there is action taking place. So who's doing the thinking? And who's performing the action, thinking about, performing the action about, and or upon other members of the body? And what we've got here are the honorable members. Now, I'm going to have to leave it up to you to determine in your body and about your body what you consider a more honorable member. But to me, one of the most easily recognizable things is what is usually the greatest compliment that guys make to girls when they first, your eyes, you know, your eyes are dazzling or whatever. Well, eyes get a lot of attention. Of all the body parts, eyes get a tremendous amount of attention, not only because of how they function, but because they actually have color, they actually have sparkle. There's just a lot about the, and I'm just using that as an illustration, as something that you might consider more honorable than another body part. You take the largest bone of your body is your femur, and that guy, boy, I mean, he carries a lot of weight, and he's integral to all these kinds of things. You lay him next to a stapes. You know what the stapes is? What's the stapes? Yeah, what is it commonly called? You guys are so smart, you got stapes. I can't believe you got stapes. I always knew it as the stirrup. That little tiny bone in that ear, next to the femur, why, the femur alone itself would crush it. And yet, that little bone is linked together. Without it, you're going to go deaf. And all I'm after is, what?
I'm fainting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You won't be able to walk properly. Yeah, fainting. Yeah. I've never had that thing where they like have to roll you around to get the little thing to come out of your ear. Boy, that's going to go over well on the internet. Why? What in the world? But sometimes you get a, I'm not even going to get into that. It's going to. Yeah, yeah. It's when you get like vertigo and everything, and they have to lay you down and spin you over, and what they're trying to do is to get that thing to come, it's got to go travel through a tube in there and finally drop out, and then you get some equilibrium back. Boy. Anyway. Let's make up your own mind what your comely parts or the honorable members. But what we've got here are the honorable members and the comely members looking at the members of the body that are less honorable and uncomely. And those honorable and comely members of the body are actually thinking about those less honorable and uncomely members of the body in a particular way. And then because of the way they're thinking, then those honorable and comely members of the body are going to then do something. And that's what you've got there. Those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more honor. They do something. Because we think to be, because there's thinking, they think in a particular way, and then they're going to do something to those less honorable and the uncomely members of the body. Well, maybe right here we need to say something about those two expressions, honorable and comely. I don't think you need a lot of help with that word honorable, but perhaps comely may be a little fuzzy and needs some clarifying. We don't use that word an awful lot, although it hasn't fallen out of use. It is a very proper word to use. But in this context, what is honorable mean? Well, an honorable body, a part of the body that's honorable. When you're talking about honorable that way, it has a good position. That's good. Yeah, it's got a designated rank. It's a high rank. It's one of the better. What?
Exalted,
right. Good. Huh?
Highly recognized.
That's right on the mark. All of these are. Yeah, it's if you get your dictionary out, honorable in this kind of a context is something that's esteemed, something that is respected. It's a respectable body part. A respectable, it holds a position of honor, like the eyes. The eyes are probably in the greatest position of honor of the whole body. Nobility, if you can think of a body part having anything like that. Yeah, that's all, and that's really all you need to know right here. It's those parts that are in that. Now, when you think of that, though, in terms of a local assembly, then you're thinking about the various offices within that local assembly. And some of them have offices in which there's a lot of visibility. One of the reasons why the eyes get so much attention is it's probably the most visible. Even in the world in which women are not allowed to be seen except for maybe 2 or 3 square inches of their body, it's the eyes that are seen. The rest of it is all covered up. And even in those cultures, they'll allow for the little slot for the eyes and the burqa or whatever they call it. Is that what it is? A burqa or a giant robe? But that's really what you need to understand about. That's what he's getting at. And in a local assembly, there's offices that are going to be more seen, more visible, more recognized, get more recognition than others. But in a living union relationship with your body doesn't come along and make those kinds of distinctions to the detriment of any other office or any other member. My femur, being the biggest bone in my body, isn't proud of the fact that he's bigger than the stapes in my ear. There isn't any of that. All right, let's leave that for right now. Comely. What does it mean to be comely?
Attractive.
That's great. Well, in fact, I'll use that word quite a bit. What?
Pretty.
Yeah, that's dead on. In fact, that's one of my words here. Anyone else? Y'all know what comeliness is, I guess. Okay. Something that's considered fair, beautiful, pleasing, becoming. Comely could even be used for a man. I know it sounds like we're making it all feminine type terminology, but it could be used for a man. A handsome man is a comely man. So that's basically the two concepts there of honorable and comely. Well, once again, it's not here that what we've got isn't the less honorable. Now, let's make sure we don't reverse things, because sometimes people get this reversed. It's not the less honorable and the uncomely members of the body that are longingly looking up to the eyes or longingly looking to the hair or whatever, you know, for some of us, a nose or the jawline or whatever it is. It's not those less honorable, uncomely members longingly looking at the honorable members and comely members of the body and thinking about them a certain way. That's not what's going on here at all. It's just the opposite of that. It's the other way around. The honorable and comely members are looking to the less honorable. And they're almost highly sensitive about the less honorable, uncomely members of the body who are less honorable and uncomely by comparison. It's not a false premise. It's a real premise. By comparison with anybody, just the fact that you've got innards and outards. You've got inner stuff and that's never seen, and you've got outer stuff that's all seen. And the fact of the matter is that you don't think a whole lot about those inner parts, but your body doesn't think that way. In fact, there's a particular aspect that lies behind this, an attribute that your body has right there where it sits, that's right now functioning and right now in operation, in which this very thing is going on, that's being described here, where the less honorable and uncomely members are being bestowed with more abundant honor, and the uncomely parts being bestowed with more abundant comeliness, and the comely parts come along and say, "I don't have any need. I don't need that." But they're the ones that are going after the less honorable and uncomely. These are those that are less honorable and uncomely by comparison to the honorable, comely parts. And they're coming along, the honorable and comely parts are coming along and thinking a particular way about those uncomely, less honorable parts. And because they think about them in a particular way, they're going to conduct themselves. They're going to behave in a particular way towards those members that are less honorable and uncomely. So you see, is that clear? We've got the cart and the horse in the right direction here. So it's not the lower guys down on the totem pole looking up to the higher ones and saying, "Oh, I wish I were you." It's not none of that going on. And by the way, the honorable and comely members aren't looking at the less honorable and comely members saying, "I wish I was you." But they see something those guys need. So if that's clear, you've got to then realize what Paul's after here is that there's a kind of thinking that members of a body have that regardless of what position they're in and regardless of, to use Katie's word, the attractiveness of that position, because what we're dealing with here is offices, because of their selfless love and their selflessness, even though they would look at other members and with all reality and genuineness recognize the differences in the position that they're in. A leg is not an ear. They're in entirely different positions. And that recognition has to be there. It's an honest recognition. And then they recognize that their position would naturally be considered to be, if you're the ear, the eyes, if you're more, it's more honorable in the body than the other one. Even though they could they could look at themselves, so to speak, and they could, like the eyes could look at themselves and they could see more attractiveness to what their position is in the body compared to the gallbladder. I mean, if I was going to be a part of the body, I wouldn't want to be a gallbladder. All it does is blow it up with bile and just blow it out and suck it up and blow it out. I mean, it's not the, you know, but boy, if that dude gets a stone in it, or if it begins hurting, and by the way, the eyes never look at the gallbladder and say, I don't need you. We already went through that. They cooperate. And they also see the gallbladder's usefulness. So you see, you've got those two in play, and now we're going to add what comes out of that. In fact, this is a species of cooperation. It comes right out of cooperating. But they do, what my point is, that they do recognize that they're in different positions. And they recognize their position would naturally be considered in one way to be more honorable in the body than another one would. And even though they could look at themselves, so to speak, and see more attractiveness to what their position is in the body to compare to this other one's. Because of selfless love, that's the drive here. There's a kind of thinking which is based upon the very first body attribute that we talked about as use and usefulness to every member. And then with that second one, based upon the second attribute, the body parts have purposely and deliberately determined to cooperate with each and every member of the body for the good of the body. That therefore means that this third attribute emerges out of that. And it takes into account that the differences between the members is not only the recognition of individuality. I mean, the eyes aren't the gallbladder. They realize they're individually different. And differences between members recognize that as far as individual members are concerned. But here's the thing, being members, every one member, members of another, it also involves the honest recognition of the fact that some offices within a body are going to, listen to this carefully, because here's the word you don't want to let go by here. They're going to seem to have, that's critical, they seem to have more honor to them. And are going to seem to have more attractiveness or comeliness to them. That's just natural to a body because there's outer parts and inner parts. There's outards and innards. And even some of the outards are less honorable and uncomely than other parts. But they're going to seem to have that more honor to them and seem to have more attractiveness to them simply because they're different. They are different. And simply because the way in which those offices are employed. Some are employed to do things on a cellular level. Others are employed to do things on a spectacularly visible, grand level. I always am captivated by some of these opera voices. Cindy and I went to see, somebody here had tickets and couldn't go and gave them to us. We went to see Pavarotti, it was a few years before he died. I wanted to hear him sing Vessel of Juba from Pagliacci, but he didn't get to that because he only sang half the concert and said he was too tired to sing the other half. But some of those opera singers, man, you know, they've got these mouths that just, you look in, when they're singing, I look in there, I think, how far back does that go? And part of them were just, fortunately, born with proper nasal cavities. There's certain sinus cavity issues that are just going to put you out of ever being an opera singer. You know, if your sound is all pushed up here in your nose, you better sing bluegrass. Nobody in bluegrass sings from the back of their throat. They sing through their nose. They push everything through their nose. That's your bluegrass sound. But I'm not making fun. That's just the truth of the matter. And there's differences, and there's different ways in which every office in the body is employed. And my point in all of that is, I like bluegrass. And I like opera, some opera. And my point is, there's nothing wrong with the fact that a body's made up of various offices, some having seemingly more honor, some having seemingly more attractiveness than others. There's not one thing wrong with that. Your body doesn't recognize there's anything wrong with that. In fact, that's the natural thing to go on in a body. But even when that occurs, when those kinds of differences occur and they exist and exist within a body, when those first two attributes, so those are what's going to save you here, of conduct and behavior are also into existence, and that's based upon the selfless love. So you've got the selfless love that now has the usefulness and the cooperation going on. When it comes to the recognizing of the reality of the differences, and there are, and these different evaluations that are made, this is honorable, less honorable, this is comely, uncomely, the point is, when it comes to recognizing even those kind of, and evaluating those kinds of differences of the differing offices that exist in the body, the members of a body never ever allow those differences, real as they are, to become a hindrance to the body. A femur never allows a small little stapes in the ear to become a hindrance and say, well, you ought to be as big as me. Can you imagine your stapes being as big as your femur? Your head would have to be that tall in order to accommodate the dumb thing. No. The point is, the members don't allow that to become a hindrance. They don't allow it to become an issue between the members. Regardless of what offices every single part and member of my body has, it functions together. And out of that cooperation, there's not one hindrance, there's not one issue that develops between them. Even when ones that are in the positions of the more honorable offices and the more comely offices recognize the difference between their offices and the members who occupy, by comparison, less honorable and uncomely offices than theirs. In fact, due to those differences of some being honorable and less honorable, comely and uncomely, because those differences exist, you see how the selfless love has to come along first? Due to the differences there are in a body, and due to the selfless love being brought into existence in the body, and due to the conduct and behavior, seeing the usefulness of the other members, as well as purposely determining to cooperate with them, something else now occurs between members of a body that on the one hand are looked at as honorable and attractive or comely, and the others that are looked upon and thought of as unattractive, uncomely, and less than honorable. And that's what Paul describes here. Because this is, as I say, this is an advancement, especially upon the cooperation issue. And it's what else occurs. What are they doing? And to get to what this third attribute of body type attribute of conduct and behavior is, it comes right at, look in verse 23, it comes right out of that core expression sitting there in verse 23. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But the core issue that comes is what stands behind that phrase, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. What we're getting at is what lies behind the scenes. What is it in the most basic of all terms that you're doing, or what action are you taking in the most basic term when you bestow more abundant honor upon those members of the body whose offices appear to be less honorable and uncomelier than yours? Now, don't answer just yet. I'll tell you when you can answer. In other words, what you need to think about is, what is the most fundamental body attribute, if we're fanning out some attributes, usefulness, cooperation, what is the fundamental body attribute that describes what you're doing in order to put that kind of behavior into effect? Because that's the behavior. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. What I'm after is, what's the attribute that has you do that? And what is it, attribute-wise, and I'm going to personify a body part here, that makes him provide more abundant comeliness to uncomely parts? What is it that makes him come along and say, I have no need? What aspect of selfless love would make him conduct himself like that, in that manner? Or makes him do what he does to the uncomely part when he looks at it and he values it and he esteems it like he's supposed to? And what you've got is one member of a body properly evaluating, properly esteeming another member of the body, but in all honesty, he sees differences. Got a different office. Different office. Different than mine. You see differences between them that could be a potential problem for the body if it's going to function properly. So, the honorable, comely parts go into action. He immediately takes a course of action, or a course of conduct, a course of behavior towards that other member of the body, and he responds to it by bestowing more abundant honor and by bestowing comeliness to it. And then he looks at himself and he says, I'm comely. I don't have any need at all. What I'm after is, what do you call that selfless action? Anybody? Compassion? You're close to the ring. That's a facet of it. When you have compassion, you're doing this already. Compassion comes out of doing this. Helping is getting, if you ever played the game warm, warm, hot, 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 you're hot, 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 hot. Helping. Encouraging, it's another facet of it. Generosity is a good one. That's the one I almost had it nailed down to generosity at one time. But there's something more basic than that. Appreciation. Well, think of let's not get away from that helping issue. Because it's, and by the way, this is something that you can look back and find in our epistle. Do you remember what you said? No. You can't remember what you said. You said it, though. Okay, that's getting right near. And in fact, we could probably use assist or help, but and not have a problem. But it's not the word I'm after. But because I actually believe this really is, like I so often talk about, the radical root element of what all those words are, of being generous and assisting. Because the truth of the matter is, folks, you can be generous for some very unsavory reasons. There are people who very You can even give to charities for very dubious reasons. But what I'm after is something that kind of lies at the very bottom of all of that. What are you doing when you give up of yourself to supply another's need? Okay. A benefactor. Now, do you really? I mean, that's good, but that's that's like right out of a law book. I mean, you got to know that I'm going for. Okay, when you sacrifice yourself, you come to that person. Think of what Christ Himself did, because he did this. No, he came to the disciples. He washes their feet. He feeds them. Yeah, he humbled himself. But what was he performing?
Service.
I gave it away. You said that the other day. I don't know if you knew that or not. That's exactly what is at the heart of all of these. You are going to be a servant to that other body part. You're going to serve them. You see their need and you rush to serve that need. That concept of being a servant, I don't know why this came up with serve ant like that. Maybe I've got to hit the spacer bar there or something. But that's what you're serving that other member. The uncomely parts and the less honorable parts aren't looking at the more comely, honorable parts as if they want to be them. No, it's the other way around. Those honorable parts and comely parts are always kind of got their tractor beam out, making sure that all of the less honorable, uncomely parts, if there's a difference in office, that they see to it that that difference in office is not going to impede the function of the body, even if they're wildly different in office, of one being far more honorable than the other. And there's various aspects of your body that we're not going to talk about, and especially before I've eaten, that you could talk about in a very, you know, but they're necessary. And it's just like the apostle says there when Paul talks about it, and he talks about the members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, but our uncomely parts have more abundant and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. You're serving that other member. You conduct and behave yourself in a manner of a servant to that other member of the body. And serving one and other is a species of cooperation. It emerges right out of that. When you've got the godly selfless love and you're looking at one another as equally useful to the body and that you've determined to cooperate with it, what emerges next is, if I see one or if I know of one that is in a position or an office in that assembly or in that body that is either in an uncomely position or a less honorable position, there's going to be a course of action I'm going to take. It's going to, if a need arises, I'm going to rush to that need and I'm going to serve that need. And therefore, the attribute of a servant is just that, the attribute, and I'm not talking about functioning in the office of a servant. I'm talking about having a servant's attribute. That it's your attribute to come along and recognize that you're always looking for a need that you can help out with. A servant's attribute, the attribute of a servant, is that he's always looking for a need that he can help out with. By the way, let me just show you. We don't have time to come back here, so you can leave this. But we are going to run ahead again, but it's the verse I'm after. Come over. Let me just show you how this develops later on. Maybe this came across your mind. Come over to Galatians chapter 5. If you don't think this doesn't click, maybe this will prove it to you. This is why over in Galatians 5, and I don't have time for any context here of any kind, just let your eyes scan down there to the 13th verse of Galatians 5. This is why Paul says in Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another." There he's straightening out the Galatians in this very area, but in the area that they were failing in. By love, serve one another. So therefore, my understanding is that this third attribute, third body attribute of conduct and behavior, is that because other members of the body are useful, just to put kind of a summary statement to it, because other members of the body are useful and every member proposes, he purposefully proposes to deliberately cooperate with every other member of the body, the honorable members of the body serve the less honorable members of the body. Now that's, you could probably say this a lot better than I just put it on the board, but I'm trying to save space because you could add the whole issue of because one office appears to be more honorable than another office, an office appears to be more attractive than another. But the what I've got on the board at least is sufficient to be able to get the point across that because other members of the body are useful and every member proposes to deliberately cooperate with every member of the body, the honorable members of the body serve the less honorable members of the body. They're going to bestow honor upon those that are in less honorable offices. They're going to bestow comeliness upon those that are in the uncomely positions. Serving one another. Now, I've got more to say about this, but not a whole lot more time. Because you're probably wondering, well, how do I do that? Well, there's an answer for it, but I don't think you're going to like it. Does Paul tell you how to do it? No. Guess what you get to do? You get to figure that out. Now, I'm going to say some more about this. It may help right at the beginning. But that's something that should be going on in the assembly all the time. That the offices that make up that assembly, those who are more honorable and in the seemingly more attractive positions, are to make sure that those who are thought about as being less honorable are nevertheless served by a particular course of action to have honor bestowed upon them. And to have comeliness bestowed upon them. And there's a reason for that, and it has to do that if this wasn't addressed, you're going to have discord in the body. And by virtue of the fact that you, no matter if you're talking about the local assembly or if you're talking about your physical body, some members just get more attention than others. But in your physical body, it doesn't stop that little tiny bone in your ear from vibrating. Because the truth of the matter is, the lifeblood that gives your eyes their glistening beauty, that same lifeblood gives that little bone in your ear all of its vitality. It gives your gallbladder, if you still have it, its vitality. Your body pays just as much attention to the smallest part of it and the most unseen part of it as it does to the most seen, attractive, heard part of your body. Stop thinking about the fact that it's what one member, I know I've used this expression all the time, I don't want to confuse you. It's what it is to the whole body and not just what it is from one member to another. The reason the more comely, honorable members are serving the more less honorable, uncomely members is for the benefit of there being no discord in the body. Not because it feels sorry for it, but to see to it that there's no discord in the body. And you need, between now and Sunday, give some thought to that very issue, because I want to tell you something: up there in those heavenly places is nothing but discord. You start to see how there's no body thinking going on out there. Those jokers that occupy those positions, their father, the adversary himself, the one that they follow, his whole being is arrogance. His whole being is selfishness and self-thinking and self-centeredness. He couldn't produce body thinking at gunpoint, but he's going to give it his best shot. And he's going to, more than that, he's going to try to see it to it that this entity called the Church of Body of Christ never is able to do that. Well, tidy up whatever, there's not many, but just whatever little loose ends we've got on Sunday, and then we're going to present the final attribute. So as I said, you could familiarize yourself there with the rest of verse 24. And verses 25 and 26. Verse 27 is a kind of a capping off conclusion to it. But you can start giving some thought to now. What is it that lies behind the issue of caring for one another? And don't come back and say altruism. I have to get my thesaurus out to figure that one out. But no, it's very, very simple. These are all simple things.
Is that the same as the reasonable service?
That's your reasonable service as a son who's gone through sonship establishment. What is now bore down upon your heart and your inner man to desire to present yourself to your father is the reasonable service for you to do. This is in a different context, my understanding is. So, but the reason I said that concept has come up before, the servant concept was sitting back there in chapter 6. So that's not a fresh concept or anything, but it is now bringing it into an arena that's a little bit different. I love this because I love being able to learn something the way my father wants me to learn it and not the way theologians want me to learn it. And to start thinking in terms of having attributes as a body that exist, function, and live right within this local assembly. And I think it's really cool because in some way it's my first taste, or when I went through this, it's my first taste of real tangible attachment to that creature and to what I'm going to be in that creature. I don't know, it just really struck a chord, but that doesn't mean I have to make it strike that same depth of chord with you, so. But I do want to impress the importance of it, so we'll stop it right there, unless there's anybody else that's just burning to say something. Okay. It's on hold, yeah. No, they're not even put into the creature yet. They're awaiting all of that in the third heaven, yeah, which is where you would go immediately when you died as a justified person, yeah. Not in this case. It's not like that. It's to, again, you have to ask yourself, how would that, you're taking this beyond, you're reading into it what's not there. Because what this is maybe why I should have gone through, finished what I had to say. This is to prevent, it's to prevent discord starting to take place, which the other way around, it wouldn't really be. Yeah, I'm not saying there can't be service. There can't be a servant's attitude that way, that direction, but it's not for the same reason. Without discord. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to, the natural way to go is this, what, this direction. It'd be unnatural to go the other direction to, because, and in fact, the text tells you that. The comely part says, I have no need. Yep. Okay. We'll end it there with our heads bowed.